world outside your window is not great, but here on Kosher Recaps, everything is mean, green, and straightforward into these jeans. I am one of your co-hosts, Jason Reed, and I am here with my other wonderful co-host, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
So excited. I feel like this was my episode to shine. This is why Josh Wigler reached for me and said, you know, can you cover She-Hulk? I feel like he already knew this episode was coming. So I'm excited. Here I am. I'm sorry, everyone, that we're a little late. I'm traveling for work. So here we are, baby. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is your episode. This is episode 5. We're a little more than halfway there to the end of the season. This episode is mean, green, and straight poured to these jeans, as was referenced in the episode, and I referenced to open the episode. So yeah, I mean, like you said, this is kind of your specialty. This is kind of celebrity influencer heavy. I don't think I liked the episode as much as you did. You know, I found it fun, not necessarily funny, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, and I understand. I think for me, the parallels were just so... It was just everywhere in your face. And I think seeing the whole LA influencer aspect and then poking fun at it is what I think I liked the best. Because if folks don't know, Jamila specifically hates influencers and has constantly been dragging people, I think, for like years at this point. Where, you know, I don't know if you know about flat tummy tees, Jason, but they're...
I've heard that name used, but I'm not hip to the controversy surrounding it.
Yeah. So basically, like, that influencers have been trying to sell this, where they say, oh, they'll give you obviously flat tummies, hence the name. And Jamila like calls people out and is like, this is just straight giving yourself diarrhea. Like, what are you doing? So this is what I feel like one of the things I also know her for online, where she's just like, influencers, don't be stupid. And people, stop buying this stuff when all the influencers most of the time are doing is plastic surgery to look a certain way. So that's why I think found extra hilarity in this, because Titania loves it, and that's who Titania I think is just like very into, but the reality is the exact opposite.
I mean, I'm sure Jamila had a fun time, like, really mm-hmm. poking fun at that aspect of her character, you know, with the background that in her real life, she doesn't like these people at all. So I'm sure that was fun for her.
Yeah, that's why I think I really like this episode. But I can see what you're saying about, you know, not going all the way. I think, yeah, they could have poked a little bit more fun at Trademark. You know, I don't know. I think you're right in that we could have got a little bit more of the influencer culture, or, you know, Jennifer Walters or She-Hulk, whichever we want to go, finding themselves.
Yeah, this felt like She-Hulk, aka Jen, was in the episode, but didn't really mm-hmm. feel like she was a big part of the episode. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like everything was happening around her and she was just like slightly reacting to everything.
Exactly. And I think that goes with even the title card, because it's a She-Hulk by Titania.
Yeah, I was taken over by Titania this
week. Exactly. So I think that's what they were like, yeah, that's just what's going to happen. And even Pug and Nikki, I think, had more agency in this episode than Jen did.
Yeah, it almost felt like Pug, Nikki, and like Titania stole the show from Jen this week. And that maybe mm-hmm. speaks to the fact that this was the first week we didn't have like a big cameo.
That's
so maybe
true.
And it felt weird that, you know, Jen's not really, I don't know, shepherding the ship of her own show. She's upstaged by everyone else this episode. So it's got me a little concerned. Like, I'm like, is Jen, are they not writing Jen, aka She-Hulk, to really carry the show like they should be?
Yeah, like, what's up? Titania is not the main, even though she's main character energy always, but she's not actually the main character.
Yeah, and I enjoy Titania, but there could be more to the character. And I felt like in the interactions between Titania and She-Hulk weren't really great. Like, it doesn't even feel like they acknowledge the fact that they fought earlier in the season. That feels like it didn't even happen.
Yeah, and I'm confused why Jen isn't trying to figure out more of that, right? Like, a little bit more detective or lawyering about all of this.
Yeah, it just their interactions didn't ring true. It almost felt like this was her first time meeting Jim, mm-hmm. aka She-Hulk. And you know, we talked a lot of earlier episodes about things getting shuffled around. Like the courtroom scene almost feels like the courtroom fight, I should say, almost feels like it's the sequel to this interaction. Like,
yeah,
Titania went to look for Jen because she's trying to get her revenge instead of it being in the first episode, which it just feels weird to me.
Yeah, and didn't you? You know, and that's exactly what I was thinking, where it wouldn't have flowed better if Titania, we get a cut from Titania, you know, where Titania breaks the fourth wall and says, this is what she gets for, you know, ruining my plan. I don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah, just some acknowledgement of their mm-hmm. of their past fight, which just seemed like there was none.
Exactly.
Yeah. So a little discombobulated in that sense, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
We want to talk a little like some She-Hulk relevant news that we got from D23 mm-hmm. The other week. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most, Josh and Kevin did do a separate like whole D23 podcast about all the news from D23. But I think something that surprised us and probably a lot of the people watching She-Hulk was that no Abomination in the Thunderbolts, which feels weird. And seeing that lineup of the Thunderbolts, it seems like they really need a heavy hitter. So exactly. Surprising that he's not there.
I'm confusion. When I didn't get to watch everything, but I also listened to Josh and Kevin. And when they said that, I was so confused. I was like, no, put me on the podcast right now. I have too many feelings for this, because there's, in my mind, with Shang-Chi and She-Hulk, they're setting Abomination up, I feel, to be such an interesting character. And like with his freaking seven soulmates, right? Like we're getting a full backstory. So what is the reason? Why are you doing this to us?
It's interesting. But yeah, maybe he's going to be a surprise appearance. Who knows? Maybe they'll try and go and recruit him and he'll be on his farm with the seven soulmates. Like, nah, I'm good here. I'll just stay right here.
Yeah, because to me, the tie-up is so perfect, right? Where he's in that prison and the Thunderbolts need to come from there. I don't know. I feel like it's right there. Maybe they're not giving it to us, like you said, on purpose, because I'm wondering if Marvel is like, we don't want to, because they love to do this, right? They don't like to show us all their cards right away. And I think if they were like, well, Abomination is in here, all of the stands, including me, would, I think we would be easily, I think, picking together what the Thunderbolt story would be. So maybe that's why, you know, let's hold on to a shred of hope.
Yeah, we're holding out our hope. Hopefully we can get another Abomination cameo somewhere along the line. It seems, I think we will be seeing him again in She-Hulk before the season's over. If, not even behind the scenes, but like future episode photos give any indication, I think we still have yet to go with Abomination in this series. So maybe we'll get an answer there.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to hit on from D23 or Marvel News?
Yeah, I think I'm excited for Secret Invasion. I think that mm-hmm. feels really fun. Just like I think Kevin and Josh, like righteous indignation about Fantastic Four. Yes. Yes. Correct. Y'all are correct about the director news. Like, cute. And what else we got? Okay. So that's where I think the big two things I wanted to bring up is, I agree. And give me some Fantastic Four. Where are the mutants at? What's going on? Did you know, did Doctor Strange, I should say, or Wong do a confusion spell or maybe a memory wipe of just Marvel execs? And that's why we're not getting anything.
Yeah, there's some interesting like X-Men Fantastic Four stuff I want to get into a little tangentially at the end, mm-hmm. very, very end of the episode. So we'll get into that at the end. I have like a little something that was in the post, not even a post-credit scene, but you know, those drawings at the end. Mm-hmm. I'll talk a little bit about at the very end of the show. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I have some fun theories, I think, from there. So if there's nothing else, let's get into the whole thing of this episode.
Yes.
This episode for me felt a little bit also about Jen kind of accepting that she is She-Hulk now. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I didn't think I wanted it, but now that it's almost being taken away from me, now I want it.
Yeah, I agree with you, because we got that heavy in episode 2. I mean, technically episode 1, but really episode 2, where she gets the name She-Hulk. So I think for us as audience, we just kind of assumed, okay, I guess she's, you know, now coming into the name. It's all good. Turns out she was not. And yeah. Titania, I think, helped her get into her own name. So I guess that's a nice thing Titania did.
Yeah, exactly. We start the episode where we see a bunch of commercials for She-Hulk by Titania. So it's a lot of these like these products. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Sasha, this is kind of like a similar to a Goop situation with Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, she's got all these nonsense products that are supposed to help you, you know, with lifestyle products, right?
Yeah. It's basically a wellness plan, which most, I have to say, influencers and celebrities in general, like, are into. I think a lot of, like, oh my God, Kate Hudson has Fabletics. You know, every single person, I think, has something or the other that they're peddling to us. Some are good, like Rihanna's Fenty. I love it. Who am I to drag? And there are some misses. So I think this wellness brand, it's all pink. I think it's just a very basic influencer look, I have to say. And they even have ads. I don't know if you saw when Jen was driving around and she sees the pink like billboard in LA. And it's like Titania at the Grove, which is, again, this huge place in where celebs hang out in LA called the Grove. It's a mall, but like a higher end mall. But I mean, I think it has all the stores, but it's where you, I think, go for celeb sightings. So I love
celebrity watch. Like I can hopefully run into Leonardo DiCaprio here or something.
Maybe if you're under 25.
Yeah, he'll only pay attention to you at that point if you're under 25.
But allegedly he's dating Gigi Hadid, so who knows? But
go check out Miss Magnets for more about that. Listen, for more about that story.
I appreciated all of it. And was this a call out to us? Because she's listening to a podcast about law, and which is a very real podcast. And then we get an ad about Titania.
Yeah, I mean, that was very, very relevant. Like, I understood that reference, as Captain America said at one point in Avengers. I mean, but I would be looking for the fast forward 30 seconds button if I was Jen at that point. So we do get her like in her house watching TV. It's everywhere for Jen. It's in her house, out on the TV. It's as she travels to her podcast in her car, she's seeing the billboard. She's hearing the ad on the podcast, like you said. But we get her back at home. And all of a sudden, her cousin Ched busts in, asking her to sign a bunch of She-Hulk products for him so he can sell them, presumably online. It seemed like he'd already sold them with the promise of a signature.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's giving "It Fell Off a Truck" vibes. Yeah. And because I don't believe he bought them, right? Like, there's no way. He paid good money, because later on we see from Nikki that this stuff is expensive. So he's like, I just need your John Hancock, which is like, my guy, stop it. Also, is that door never locked?
Right. Dad busted in the episode ago. Ched's busting in. So Jen refuses to sign, and she says, I'm not gonna help her. And Jed thinks that, you know, it's her product because it's named She-Hulk. He's like, well, how is it not your product? And she tells him that Titania bought the trademark. He's like, oh, well, you know how trademarks work, is you could have done it first and she would have been able to do that. And he's like, oh yeah, thanks Jed, thanks a lot.
And how does she not Hulk out here?
Yeah, right. I mean, and Ched, again, like, I feel like we're stopping short all the time with the comedy. Like, Ched is supposed to be like straight, like, comedic relief, but he doesn't do much here.
Yeah, and then we don't really see him again, right, at all. Right. So I was like, what was the point of that? Because I know we needed the mansplaining, but I think that any character could have done that. I don't know that we need him specifically, but maybe it's because he's like the funky cousin that does have personal access to Jen. So I can see why, but I was like, I can't believe he thinks pink products, right? Not green and purple, but pink is Jen or She-Hulk product. Like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah. So we then go to Jen and Nikki going to confront Titania at the Grove, because, like you said, Jen saw the billboard where she's going to be. So she knows where she's going to be. So Jen wants to go confront her. We get a bunch of products. We get some snake venom lip plumper, beauty serum, beauty oil, beauty tonic. And Jenna's like, isn't this all just the same thing?
Jason, do you know the difference on
I know, I no idea. I don't know why you want to put snake venom on your lips. That seems dangerous to me.
Yeah, I think that one was a definite joker to sell like snake oil, because back in the, I mean, that's seen as like this magic elixir, et cetera, et cetera. It's like basically peddling nonsense. So I appreciated that, because a lot of these products can be bad for you. If folks just Google even Kylie Jenner's face products, I mean, horrible apparently for your skin, where people were having micro tears on their face because of just how allegedly how bad Kylie's products were. So this, again, this all checks out, y'all. And for anyone wondering, you know, the serum, face serum or beauty serum is for anti-aging. Oil like is technically to soften the skin, etc., etc. And like the tonic is for like eyes, maybe plumping, stuff like that. So these are all real products. It's just, I think someone like Jen doesn't always get it.
Yeah, so I mean, Jen seems pretty like pretty plain. She's not really worried about any of this stuff. This is not her bag, so she's a little confused. But Jen goes to like to talk to Titania, and Titania's like, "Oh, hello, little child." and Titania basically tells you to get over it. And a fan runs up, wants to take a picture. Jen goes ahead and takes the picture. Jen's always just, it seems like she's just too nice for her own good sometimes.
Yeah, which is, I think, it feels sometimes like a stark contrast to what you think a Hulk is, right? Not necessarily even She-Hulk, but just a Hulk, where they're supposed to be angry, or if anything can set them off. And like a fan trying to take a picture with her name, but her arch nemesis, it's giving, I'm going to be angry. But Jen is just, using all of the techniques Bruce taught her. And she's like, great. I'll just take your picture. I'm a good person.
Yeah. So then we go back to Jen, Jen and Nikki at the office, and Jen's still complaining about the name, how now it's, she, you know, wants to embrace everything that seemed to come with it, and claims that, you know, she doesn't care about the name. She's over it. She's a basically Titanic can have the name. She's over it. She doesn't care anymore. But although she does crush a stapler when she's not even realizing the thought of Titania stealing her name, which she claims she doesn't care about.
Yeah, I think that was the best part of it all, because she's like, it's not something that I'm worried about, because She-Hulk is something that happened to me, not who I am. I appreciate it. You know, I think that's growth. We get it. And why are you crushing a stapler?
Yeah, but it's also a little false. Like, yeah, this is kind of who you are now a little bit.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
And when you see someone taking something you thought you didn't want, you're like, oh, I kind of did want that, I guess.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. You want what you can't have. But yeah. Also, Jason, I feel like this piece I really liked, where she says, well, I do like some things that come with the Hulk, right? She says, I love the hair, the no hangover. But this part I wanted to highlight, the walk at night with headphones on. Yeah. Truer words have not been spoken. Okay. Like, why can't I just walk around at night, maybe in a big city, right? LA, wherever. I used to live in San Francisco. Same thing, with headphones on, and not be bothered or not be scared that things will happen to me. Ugh, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that scene a couple episodes ago where she was attacked by the Wrecking Crew, where she realizes, oh, wait, I don't have to like deal with this. I'm She-Hulk. I can just beat these guys up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a nice kind of a callback to that, I think, where she realizes that, hey, I don't have to worry about that now because I am She-Hulk.
Exactly.
We shoot over to Nikki. She's looking at the site for She-Hulk products by Titania. He's like, hey, anything's so dang expensive over here. We get Pug running in, and he asks Nikki for a favor. Nikki says, well, you know, it's going to cost you a return favor plus interest. I really enjoy the interplay between Nikki and Pug this episode. And Pug himself, like the actor who I talked about when he debuted a few episodes ago, Josh Segarra, I really like his intonation of his voice and how he really plays these scenes. It's kind of, dumb and lovable type of idiot type of vibes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, does he have a black set? Like, I was very confused by the way he was speaking this episode, but then I think as it went on, I think he settled into the voice a little better, and it felt more, yeah, like, oh, the silly guy that happens to be in the office who goes by Pug. Like, why are you going by Pug? But, you know, do you, boo. And he's ready because he needs Nikki to buy the Iron Man 3s. They're back, baby.
Yeah, great callback to these kind of the Easter eggs we saw on the website a few episodes ago. So he needs some Iron Man 3s. He needs her to stay in line with him because he needs to get two pairs, and there's only one pair allowed per customer. And she's like, why do you need two pairs? She says, one to rock and one to stock.
I know. I feel like, did we need to have Chappelle on this episode to tell us more about all of this?
I was going to say, because he says, you know, he has his big shoe collection, but he gets all his stuff from a drip broker. And I say, if anyone that we know has a drip broker, it's got to be Chappelle.
He has many brokers, let's just say. But I appreciated all of this because, again, it's bringing fun, relatable energy in, right? Where I think if we're talking about influencer culture, another piece of it is sneaker culture. You know, all of this, I think, works together. And they're in LA. I feel like it all makes sense. Almost, yeah. for Pug to be so into this, and Nikki's just like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, but I mean, through the fact that he has a drip broker, Nikki says, well, do you think he could get like supersized clothes for Jen? And Pug seems to think that he definitely can. So we flash over to Jen watching Titania on her computer and insisting again that she is telling us, breaking the fourth wall, that she is definitely over it. As I think this might be the time when she's crushing the staple, I think.
Yes, 100%.
So we go back with Nikki and Pug. We pull up to a boba cafe, which, you know, Nikki's like, this is just a boba cafe. He's like, no, my drip broker, I think his name is Alonzo, insists that this is actually a front for a superhero clothing business.
And allegedly.
Allegedly. They enter the cafe, and the guy behind the counter is like, hey, what do you guys want? And they're trying to tell him, like, yeah, we know this is like not really a boba cafe. He's like, yeah, it totally is. What can I get you? And eventually, after like Nikki kind of offends him a little bit by speaking Chinese, he's like, oh, I'm not Chinese, which was an interesting thing to slip in here. I'm not sure why. Like, this, it was a weird kind of aside here.
Yeah, and I don't know that a lot of folks would just straight up do this, right? Assume a person working at a boba shop is Chinese. And maybe this is a joke that, you know, all Asians, maybe folks might think all Asians are Chinese, which is so dumb. And I think sometimes people forget me, South Asians, even are Asians. So I get it, but I was like, Nikki's not a person of color crime. Stop this.
Right. It didn't land for me. It felt out of place. I was like, that was just a weird thing to slip in there.
And we never like talk about it again. Like, will Nikki speak? Is it Chinese? Is it Mandarin? Like, I don't know. So that's why I was like, is this going to come up later? And that's why they had to slip this in. I'm confusion. And then she says, I feel so much shame. What?
Yeah,
why it
felt odd and out of place. I didn't enjoy that at all.
Yeah, it was just icky. I didn't think it was a cheap joke. I will, again, the showrunner is Asian. I don't the creator, I don't know what her ethnicity is, so I don't want to say I just don't know what her ethnicity is, so I don't want to say like maybe she's Chinese, but it is what it is. I had to that was weird.
Yeah, so the barista eventually comes back and says, okay, fine, come on back. I'll show you where the stuff is. So they go to the back room. Nikki's like, yeah, this is a creepy backroom situation, which is correct. And he shows them all his merchandise he has. There's a bunch of mugs, there's hats, there's shirts, there's fake shields and fake Mjolnirs from Thor's hammer. And apparently it's a bunch of merchandise as knockoff Avengers stuff. It's Avengers and Avengers.
The best. Yeah. No, but I need those shirts now.
I have not checked yet, but I'm not sure if they're selling this like as part of the merch for the show. If not, they really need to.
Yeah. So it looks like Jessica Gao's husband, if you go on his shop, I think 100% Soft is what it's called. And if you look in all the stuff they have, Jason, he has like it feels like a lot of his stuff, I have to say.
They're like nepotism shining through.
You know, I don't want to say 100%, but I needed to bring that to the people. Okay.
Let me go sell my husband's stuff for him.
Yeah. So, cause someone else, again, in the, in one of the Easter egg things I was looking at on Nikki's desk, there's a dumpster fire, a little, I don't know, vinyl, whatever we want to say, a little toy. And he makes that. And then he is selling official Marvel Studios licensed She-Hulk stuff.
Wow.
So you know, just do with that as you may. Like, I tried to look at the t-shirts that he was selling, and I didn't see any Avengers stuff. And currently, I mean, and there's a lot of, like, Mean Girls again and Loser, We're Going Shopping, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I feel like I needed to bring that to the people.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Seems a little nepotism-y, but okay.
Yeah, because if you look at how cute, I mean, again, I might end up buying some of this stuff because it's so cute, but the pins, the enamels are very, like, it felt like what the art on the backroom fake stuff was.
Listen, they would probably get me because I liked it. I liked the shirt.
Same.
I would probably buy it. So, did you know, see, hey, work Hulk it how I can work it.
Did you see Hulk as Borat in the outfit, in the Speedo swimsuit thing?
Yeah.
That I was like, what are y'all doing? But I know people will buy it. I know people will buy it. Also, this is why I'm obsessed with, I think, all the marketing coming out of this. The Avengers Twitter account actually changed their name to Avenger.
Yeah, I did see that. I mean, hey, it's this show has been really doing well in the promotional material type of thing, with all the stuff that that Jamila Jamil's been doing out and about. And I think I saw another video of her out in public. People were referring to her as Titania, and she's like
at acting. New York Fashion Week. At yeah, she's Titania.
Like, yeah, she's acting as if she's Titania. So again, the promotional things they've been doing with the show are really top notch and really good, really fun. So I'm not surprised to see. I wouldn't be surprised to see if they are selling these things, you know, out there, like the mugs and the t-shirts and the hats and all that stuff. So yeah, good stuff. Good stuff there.
Yeah, and I think this is, sorry, another thing I have to bring up, because did you know that Marvel and DC, because I didn't, that's why I'm asking, actually trademarked the phrase superhero.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, apparently in the 60s or something. So basically you can use it casually, but, like, you know, if you're like putting out, I guess, stuff, you can't have superhero on it, the phrase. And I can't help but laugh because we're seeing all this knockoff Avengers stuff, and then meanwhile Marvel and DC have literally trademarked these, even the word superhero.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little phrase. a little bit of calling yourself out there, I think.
Exactly.
So they say, hey, so we want to know where the customer is. Like, you're not him. Like, do you know where he is? He's like, and the guy selling the knockoff stuff's like, I'm not going to tell you anything unless you buy some merch. So they end up buying. He's like, fine, we'll take a shirt, like, and a hat. Nikki's like, of course, you have to finish the ensemble. Why wouldn't I buy it? Yeah. I mean, the kind of the string here doesn't make sense. Like, Pug's drip broker sent him here, but why does this guy know where the costumer is? I didn't really find the through line through there.
I think plugs just know other plugs.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's what it is.
So Nikki and Pug then go to the place where they are sent by the guy, decked out in all of their Avengers swag, which was such a fun sight to see, because it really seems like Pug is really embracing it. Pug is having fun with the fake shield and the fake hammer.
Yeah, Pug was like doing the end game fight scene. I was like, dude, stop this.
It just lends to his like character of like being kind of like just this kid type of character. So they ring the bell. The person on the other end refuses to see them at first, but then Nikki first throws out Titania's name. And then he's like, no, I saw you shrug. I saw you not being sure. You're just faking it. And then she says, well, my actual client is actually an Avenger. He said, and this really changes his mood. He's like, oh, really? An Avenger? And so he agrees to make an appointment for later. Pug and Nikki dance around to celebrate. Really, really fun character moment for those two, really bonding together, I guess. So then we switch it up a little bit. We get Jen in a meeting with Holden, her boss, the head of the law firm. He's upset that, you know, people are out there seeing people take your name. Like, that's not a good look for this law firm. Like, we hired you for your name, and for someone to be taking your name is not a good look for us. It makes us look bad. And Jen's like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And Holden's like, no. He assigns Mallory to take the case for her to help her fight this lawsuit. Mallory says, I'm taking this on as your attorney, not your colleague, so you're going to be my client. And she's asking Jen, like, so why did you ever trademark the name in the first place? Jen says, well, I never thought to, because I mean, you got people out there like Thor and Doctor Strange. They didn't have to trademark their names. And I was like, well, I mean, they wouldn't have to because those are their actual names. So great job, Jen, on the two people that you could have, that you threw out there that didn't need to. She could have thrown out Hawkeye. She could have thrown out Black Widow.
Iron Man. Like, Iron Man is everywhere. And I'm sure Iron Man has trademarked everything.
That was probably the first thing he did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, rich people know how to stay rich.
So, well, I'm sure Tony, probably like being like the Avengers are kind of his baby, trademarked everyone's name. Like, even before Hawkeye, like, oh, your name's Hawkeye. I'm going to trademark that before we go on our first Avengers mission because I don't want anybody stealing that name because you're going to make money for me and my company.
Exactly. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, Bruce, these are the things, the practical things that Bruce didn't teach her of how to not be a lawyer. Because as a lawyer, how can you forget all this stuff? But maybe she's just too nice, as we saw from her taking pictures for the haters.
I think Bruce might actually not even care if anyone trademarked his name. It seems like Bruce is really just all, I mean, especially the Bruce that we got in the first episode of this series really seemed only about the superheroing. Like, I don't care about your other life. The only thing that matters is saving people, which, you know, tends to make me think he wouldn't really care if someone trademarked his name.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, that's a nice one. Thank you.
He's like, whatever. I got experiments to do. Not time for this. So Mallory then suggests that they countersue Titania and says that and wants to make sure that they can show that Jen was using the name She-Hulk before Titania even filed the trademark for the name. And Mallory tells Jen she wants her to dress like a professional and not a football player pleading no contest to a DUI. This took me out. I couldn't stop laughing for a good 5 minutes.
Literally fell over, because how many times have we actually seen that? And to just make that, whoever, again, slip this line in, you deserve all your accolades.
Yeah, like, especially people like you and I are football fans. Like, we know we've seen football stars in courtrooms in those two big suits that are like pleading no contest to whatever they're involved in.
Yeah, I was watching my school. I'm a big Oklahoma football fan, and literally this was an ad, Jason, last week, where all the Oklahoma football players got custom suits so they don't have to wear like the big and tall stuff only.
Well, yeah,
so I couldn't believe it.
You see athletes walk into stadiums or whatever in those weird suits that are obviously too big for them.
Yes,
just fun, just a really fun like joke at that expense. That was probably the biggest laugh I got from the episode.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
So Mallory calls Nikki in, says that we need a new wardrobe for Jen. Nikki's like, oh, I already got it. We already have an appointment for her to see someone about a new suit. Jen says, oh, I don't need any more new clothes. And Mallory and Nikki both are like, yeah, you actually really do. Like, this is a problem. This is an issue.
Yeah, and the fact that Jennifer, right, and you said this last time too, but this whole episode again had me feeling, are we really supposed to believe that this woman is not good looking and doesn't have her life together? Like, stop this. This is not real.
Yeah, and I mean, even the She-Hulk, as She-Hulk, Jen is still kind of in the Jen mindset. She's not like, mm-hmm. I'm not worried about how I look. I'm not worried about the clothes I'm wearing. Like, I'm just a lawyer. I'm not this like sex symbol, like needing to impress. I just need clothes to fit my body. You know, also that lends to the fact that even when she's shrunk down, she still wears the big suits because she doesn't
exactly
care. Like, she's like, whatever. She doesn't take the time to change out of her big clothes when she's Jen. She's like, I just don't care. So it's not a big deal. Jen and Mallory are entering the courtroom to start fighting the case. Titania is already there having her lawyer take pics of her, I'm sure, for her Insta.
Yeah, very much that. Okay, we know a good influencer, that's what you gotta do.
And this is a part of the show that I really like, where they have things going on like all around where we're focusing. Because, I mean, we're focusing on our main character, Jen, as she's entering. Mm-hmm. But we have this fun thing over here happening with Titania taking these pictures with her lawyer. And it's not really a big part of the show, but it's just fun stuff going on in the background.
Yeah, and I can't help but laugh because as soon as She-Hulk comes in, nice suit, Shrek.
Yeah.
Why you did that? That's so disrespectful.
Messed up. So they start the case that the Titania's lawyer says they want the suit dismissed because Titania legally outright owns a trademark, and you know, and that's their trademark. So there's no reason for this you know, for Jennifer to keep using it. It's theirs. Mallory argues that the public has been identifying Jen as She-Hulk since Jen came on the scene, and Titania is only using the name to sell her non-FDA approved sham products.
Oh my God. I couldn't, because she's like, yeah, I have a foot product or a sample. Would you like
foot exfoliant? And she's got all these like products. Yeah, she's got these products strewn all over the table there on her side of the courtroom. So like we mentioned a little bit of it before. Like what are, these are like, this is like the Kim Kardashian. This is the Gwyneth Paltrow type of things, right?
Yeah. These are very much all of. It was giving Kardashian, I will say, because I think they're the biggest offenders of doing stuff like this, where, listen, Jason last time called the number for She-Hulk. So this time I was like, what can I bring? No, I'm kidding. But I looked up fun, fun copyright, as in fun, which is like so ludicrous. It's fun. Where Taylor Swift literally, y'all, tried to copyright her cats or trademark her cat's names. And guess what? The newest cat's name is Benjamin Button, y'all.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing. That's already a thing.
A whole movie. Make it make sense. But, you know, Meredith, Olivia, and Benjamin, apparently they wanted to use that for a trademark. Then Kim Kardashian, who I think for me personally, Titania reminds me of like all of the Kardashians together to make one big super influencer, where Kim tried to trademark kimono.
Yeah, I think that Titania's like overall attitude and overall mannerisms, I think, is really supposed to really remind you of a Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Valley Girl twang and all of that comes together. But listen, it's not just women that do this, Jason, because Drake tried to trademark God's Plan in 2018.
Oh, y'all know Drake is thirsty always.
Listen, so don't talk, please. But Paris Hilton did trademark That's Hot.
I would say that made sense, because she probably is the one that really like popularized that phrase itself, not hot itself, but That's Hot.
Yeah, and Gene Simmons. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And she actually like sued Hallmark, I guess, for using that. And then Gene Simmons actually trademarked the metal horn, or tried to trademark the metal horns gesture, which I was like, okay, Texas fans, like, come for him. And Donald Trump obviously tried to do the you're fired one. And Kylie Jenner, I think I talked about this last time, did Rise and Shine as well. But it failed. All it failed. And LeBron James, with my favorite trademark, tried to trademark Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. See, maybe he deserves that, because that was the first thing I thought of when you brought him up. So maybe he should have that one.
Absolutely not. You, these freaking cultural appropriation celebrity. I cannot. Oh my God.
Yeah, so Titania's attorney argues that Jen didn't even want the name until she saw Titania start selling her products. And so he goes on to play a video of Jen coming out of the courthouse talking about she doesn't want the press to call her She-Hulk. It's a garbage name. It's terribly simplistic. It's awful. Do not call me that. So Mallory, I'm assuming, like, already kind of thinking that this type of thing is going to happen, fires back. She says, well, we have a video of our own. She shows Jen's TV interview where she's basically accepting the name, saying, yeah, that's my name now. I didn't want it, but it's my name now, so that's what I'm going to go by, showing that this is how Jen is identifying.
Yeah, which, listen, it's time. It's time for her to embrace the mean green machine that she is.
Yeah, so the judge says, well, I need more evidence than this, which I'm not even sure that that's a thing. Like, I think this is nice evidence. She's basically accepting the name right here, but I guess it's because we're a show, we have to have more. Exactly. She says she wants more evidence that Jen has been using the name, and Mallory says, we will definitely have all that evidence for you, even though I'm sure she doesn't realize at the time how she's going to get that evidence. She says, yes, we will definitely have it next time we see.
Did you catch this, right? Because I think in this scene, or maybe, sorry if I'm jumping, but one scene after where they say we need to know, or the judge asks, about how Jen or She-Hulk has been using that personally. And I immediately was like, oh, the dating profile is going to come back.
I didn't get that. I think one of our people in the Discord called that out. They said they wished that they hadn't have played those scenes like in the recap leading up to the show, because it would have been obvious that that was going to be used in the episode. It's kind of like, it's that thing all the time where more and more I'm skipping recaps of shows I've already seen because I don't want to spoil the show that's coming up. And I think that's what the including the past dates in the recap before the show did.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I also read that feedback. But in my mind, I'm telling you, as soon as they said, no, we have to know how she used it personally, I was like, well, we know the one big personal one. And I just couldn't believe who all was brought back.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm dumb. I didn't pick it up. So I was like, oh, this is cool. when she realized it herself, I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I didn't even pick it up. My bad.
I could be a lawyer. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So next up, we're going to go get fashionable with try and find Jen some clothes. But first, we're going to take a very, very quick break. And I promise you won't have any podcast ads about the Titania products. All right. We are back. So the next scene is Nikki and Jen showing up to the clothing boutique that they've been sent to. And the designer that we meet, which his name is Luke Jacobson, he turns around. We see him ordering a bunch of people around, doing a bunch of different things. He turns around. He's like, oh, is the hag convention in town? I was like, whoa.
How dare. That's so mean. Like, she could literally, like, squish you with her fist.
Right. How dare you? So we did get a little bit of feedback from Zach P in the patron group, who clocks that this is Luke Jacobson, and he has ties in the Marvel Universe, but it is very, very minimal, very minuscule. He showed up in three issues of a comic called Dakota North. I do recognize the name Dakota North. She was involved in some Daredevil stuff back a little while back, but very deep cuts characters happening here. So I don't know if the probably the Marvel were just like, who has been a fashion mogul before in the Marvel universe? Luke Jacobson. He was in three issues of comics. Sure, put him in there. Who cares? So that it is a part of the Marvel history, but not one that many people would recognize.
Yeah, I could not stop laughing because Diana also said this in their feedback, but I immediately caught that because I said Edna Mode, because like I didn't know that Marvel has fashion designers. How dare I not know that? But I didn't. And Diana also says, can we call him Ed Mode? Correct. That is Edna Mode. I don't care what anyone says. I didn't see no capes. Did you?
Yeah, no. I mean, and just to clarify, that is from The Incredibles. Pixar, I think it's Pixar, the Pixar movie, The Incredibles.
I mean, it's
the
all little, Disney.
Yeah, the short fashion designer that's featured in that movie. That makes a ton of sense. When I read that feedback, I was like, oh yeah, that totally makes a ton of sense. So yeah, that makes that. So I mean, in the Marvel comics, it's funny because the Wasp, who is Janet Van Dyne in the Marvel comics, does a lot of superhero costume creating. That's part of the thing. That's one of the things she does. She's a fashion designer in addition to being the Wasp. Now, the Wasp, Janet Van Dyne, that we have in the MCU is not really going to fit that. So obviously they needed to come up with something else.
Yeah. And again, I'm very into it. I think this leans into this being a sitcom, this being fun, this being, you know, its own moment, right? Where I didn't need necessarily the Wasp to come in to help her, you know, whatever. It doesn't need to be necessarily the Wasp, but I just like the world building here because we're meeting, I think, a bunch of obscure people, I have to say. And this all adds to, I think, the magic that is She-Hulk.
Yeah, if you're going to show something like this, this is the show to show it in.
Exactly.
You're not going to show it in a really serious show. But in the Daredevil Netflix show, we got a little bit of this where we find out how Daredevil got his costume. But this particular thing where we have a big time person known for creating superhero outfits really fits in this comedy show because it's something that fits in this universe, fits in this world, fits in this type of humor. Now, I will say, this episode is a big like, okay, but we didn't get enough. Maybe this speaks to the runtime of the show, which this episode itself was 30 minutes. I wish we had more.
Even it ended, I think, at 24 at the 24 mark.
Yeah, because you got all the stupid credits and all.
You're trying to play me.
Yeah, so this was very short. I wish you would have gotten more from Luke, because I feel like we didn't get enough. I feel like there wasn't enough comedy here, because this role of Luke should have been like comedy off the wall all the time, but we didn't get much from him.
I mean, we didn't get anything, right? Like, I would have appreciated him showing off his office a little better, but I guess he's a professional, so he has to maintain confidentiality, so he can't. But, you know, I would have appreciated that piece. And then we also get your favorite, the Frogman situation, coming out of it, because someone is taking away, you know, when Jen walks in, but that's later on. Yeah, but when Jen walks into the space, it's someone leaving, and people are saying that was an Easter egg for upcoming, who we saw in the trailer already.
Oh, you're talking about the very end of the show?
No, this was like in the, you know how we've seen that frog, is it Frogman, right? Or am I really just so off?
I mean,
what
yeah,
is the name? Leap? No, it's Frogman.
It's either going to be Frogman or Leapfrog. I think it's
Leapfrog. Okay. One of the two. I'm sorry, y'all. Please don't.
I didn't clock anything for Frogman or Leapfrog in the office.
In my, again, in my Easter egg diving, that's what people are saying, is that who was leaving the office was someone not stealing, but supposed to be delivering for either Leapfrog, one of the frogs, okay? Yeah. Sorry, y'all.
Wow, I didn't think it's going to make me go back and watch it after we finish recording today.
Listen, what I can do to bring this podcast is look up Easter egg stuff, because I love conspiracies and I love this kind of stuff. But that's what I think they're saying is who allegedly was walking away.
Okay, cool. Luke talks to Nikki, says, you told me that she was an Avenger already. She's like, well, she's gonna be the next big thing. Don't you want to outfit the Hulk's cousin? And Luke's like, oh, you mean like by blood, like the Hulk's cousin? It's like, yeah. So Luke says, fine. What superhero features do you want in this outfit? Like, he can do all types of armor. He can do all types of weaponry. Jen says, no, I don't need anything like that. I just need a business suit. And this really takes Luke aback. He's like, honey, that's all I do. This is like superhero stuff. Like, what are you talking about?
So, which I appreciate. And I think, again, this is where folks that don't watch trailers, you know, we know our own Kevin doesn't or is known to not. I think this makes sense because we know what's coming, which was unfortunate.
Yeah. Luke is like, I just want y'all to leave. And Nikki has Jen show Luke how she can transform. And I think it's basically meant to be like, don't you want this kind of challenge? Like, to have clothes that can both shrink and, you know, expand with their wear. So they use that to convince him to make her suit. So you know, it's going to be a big accomplishment for Luke to dress a Hulk. So that's how they get him to make the suit.
Yeah. And I appreciate Luke being like, she's not an Avenger. What are you talking about? Lies. And Nikki says it, which wink, wink, because she said, you know, I mean, she might be an Avenger at some point, most likely. Come on. Which, again, was just such a fun way to tell us that, listen, we know what y'all are thinking. We're also thinking it. Here you go.
Yeah, thinking of that in that vein of, is Jen / She-Hulk going to be an Avenger? I think what will be fun is that there is like offshoot of the Avengers in the comics called West Coast Avengers, right?
Yeah.
It's not as serious as the Avengers. I would love for there to be like a second season of She-Hulk where she is assembling the West Coast Avengers and they are kind of like not as serious as the regular Avengers, or as she's trying to find heroes in the LA area that may not be up to snuff as the ones of the New York area. I think that would be a fun offshoot to have of Jen. Of course, she could be in the regular Avengers as well. Maybe she'll get some better CGI in Avengers movies.
Fingers so
that
would, crossed,
that would be
man.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I think that would be a fun way to take the character if they choose not to go the regular Avengers route.
Yeah, agreed.
So Jen and Nikki go back to the office, and they see Mallory talking to who happens to be one of Jen's old dates, Todd.
Oh,
this was the weird guy that was asking all about her powers on the date, calling her a specimen and all that stuff. So apparently what we find out is he is a big client of GLKNH. He and Jen have this weird exchange where Todd's like, oh, we should go for another date. She's like, yeah, that'd be great. And as she walks away, Nikki's like, well, you folded really quick. And she's like, yeah, I'm not sure why I did that. But
yeah, it also seems because the actor that plays Todd was at D23, and he talks about Todd is a billionaire playboy philanthropist who, you know, wants more than anything to feel like Tony Stark, blah blah blah, but he's, you know, used to getting what he wants, but he's a total creep who just starts popping up everywhere. So just something for us to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think more and more I'm getting hip to the theory that this may be you know, what our big bad of the season that is trying to get that sent the Wrecking Crew after Jen trying to get her blood, which to my chagrin doesn't match up to my theory that it will be the leader coming back. There's some more news we got from D23 is the leader played by Tim Blake Nelson, not by the guy that played Phil Duffy, which I was wrong about on one of our other podcasts, the one I did with LaTanya. But he's going to be in the new Captain America movie coming back as the leader, which I also think could also he could be part of this show, because I mean, he was part of the Hulk franchise, so that's acknowledgement that he's coming back to the MCU, so he could pop up here first. That would be great.
Yes, agreed. So let's see what that means, but for now just needed to tie that in because I think they're saying at D23 Mans is gonna be popping up, so get ready.
Yeah. Nick and Jen are talking outside, and Jen is talking about the fact that, you know, that She-Hulk dated him, and this really kind of spurs her memory. She's like, wait a minute, She-Hulk dated him, like, not Jen. I put up that profile as She-Hulk, so that will prove that I was using the name before Titania came up with the trademark. Which she says that, she's like, oh crap, that means I'm gonna have to parade all of my awful dates in the courtroom to help me win this case.
Okay, listen, I called it. Jen, hire me as your lawyer, because I got you. Also, if folks are all feeling like, you know, the lawyery stuff isn't lawyering the way we want it to, you're correct, because actually I think the Jessica Gao even admitted, like, a while back though, that her team was inept at writing rousing trial scenes. Marvel got money. Y'all can't hire like one person.
We've referenced it before, but they really need to up their game with their legal advisor, like, you know, people they have bring in. Maybe from what you're saying, maybe they didn't even bring any in. Like, they just bothered not to.
I needed to throw that out there, do that with what you may, because I agree where I think the first setup, right, where her and Titania, rather, I should say, had fun jabs, called her Shrek, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the second piece, I was like, oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. It seemed like their legal advisors were like Google or something. They're like, what? Courtroom terminology. They like put into
copyright
Google,
team.
Yeah, exactly. So not great facts and figures about the law system, but do we really need it? Did y'all want this really overly complicated law show? I don't think many people did.
No, like I said, as a non-lawyer, to me, I was like, yeah, checks out. I know I'm 99.999% wrong. I don't care.
But even when we as people, as non-lawyers, can say that doesn't make any sense, that is a problem. So maybe they definitely do need to up it a little bit. But I don't need any complicated terminology thrown around, but sound like you know what you're talking about.
Here's my prisoner's dilemma. Maybe that isn't actually. Better CGI or better lawyering?
I'll take the better CGI, Alex. Because there's a scene later where Jen and Mallory are coming out of the courthouse, and Jen has to walk down some steps, and it was not good.
I literally was like, is she floating?
Yeah, that was a problem. Okay. Problem. Anyway, back to the episode.
Yeah.
We come back to the courtroom, and we find that all of Jen's former dates are in the little audience piece, getting ready to come up to say their thing. Mallory explains that to the judge that Jen has used the name as a genuine part of her identity by using it as a part of her dating profile, and she uses some of the quotes that are in the profile, and that is where in her about me section it says she's mean, green, and straight, poured into these jeans. My goodness. And in the what are you looking for portion in a mate, she answered, a sturdy back and reinforced king-sized bed.
Nah.
JK. Wow.
I would literally die if someone read my dating. I mean, when I had a dating profile, I never put a description because I'm not funny. But
we all know that's not true. But
no,
ahead.
Please, there's no way. I'm not witty when it comes to maybe like writing. I could drag people, and I think that's funny. I think it's funny. I don't care if anyone else does it. But oh my god, that is cringe fest, and I couldn't stop laughing. I thought this was funny.
I thought they missed an opportunity here to like have Jen on the stand and have to say that herself.
Oh my god!
I think that would have been even funnier. It's a missed opportunity to have Tatiana Maslany deliver those lines. But I mean, I will say Renee Lise Goldberry delivered them fantastically, like she does everything else as Mallory Book. But yeah, I think they missed a slight opportunity there. Then we get all of Jen's former dates up on the stand. And they say a bunch of not great things about their dates. The first one says she's a little bit of a tryhard. The other one talks about how she referred herself in the third person. And then we get Todd up on the stand and says, you know, she was at first embarrassed by the name, but it does confirm that at the end she seemed to embrace it. Then we get a trash doctor boy. That's what I'm gonna call him. Trash doctor boy gets on the stand.
Yeah, his name's Derek.
Whatever, trash doctor boy on the stand and says he Correct. And She-Hulk had an intense connection and they had a great date, a great time. But Mallory asks if he would be interested in her just as Jen. Dr. Trash Doctor Boy confirms that Jen
is
not.
I think his name's Arthur. Oops, whatever. Doesn't matter. Why am I so worried about
his name is Trash Doctor Boy.
Yes.
Confirms that Jen is not really his type and that he would actually just prefer She-Hulk. And to that, I said, you didn't even really even know Jen at all. Like, as soon as you saw Jen, you hightailed it out of there. So how would you know that you like Jen or not?
Because he's not into short women. And he's weird. Rocks, loser.
Yeah. The judge finds in favor of Jen and grants a summary judgment, which I'm not sure if it was on the Patreon or somewhere on the Discord said, that's not really what a summary judgment is.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, that was not used correctly. And they grant the judgment to Jen and says that this means that Titania has to stop using the She-Hulk name and has to recall all of the products that she has sent out with the She-Hulk name. Titania comes over to Jen and tells her, this is not over. And that's it. I mean, again, I felt like we didn't get enough juice. We didn't get enough juice out of this, like, at all.
Yeah. Why? You're telling me we're not going to get a Titania outburst? If she just lost the case, that makes no absolutely zero sense to me, for one. And secondly, I feel like those men were so disrespectful. And how are we just, they talk about it later on, so we'll also later on, but I just don't understand how there was no consequences, no frustration, no
damages to Jen, maybe.
Thank you. No courtroom fight part two. Well, I'm confusion. Yeah. This woman just lost.
Yeah, I mean, she bursted into a courtroom. I think was it the show that actually said that over a traffic court thing? That's why she bursted in the courtroom at first. And for to be taken, all the stuff taken away from you because you lost this thing, to only just walk over and be like, this isn't over, and then walk out. What didn't really fit.
And have Punk buy her things.
Yeah, I know. So
that's the first date.
Yeah, the first muscly date guy comes up to her. He's like, hey, can we go out? She's like, fine, I'll let you go buy me things. So, yeah, that's how that ended, which was kind of a letdown a little bit for me. So on the way out of the courthouse, Jen is thanking Mallory for helping her out. Mallory stops her, tells her, you know what? Don't listen to what the trash doctor guy said. You are so much better than him, than that jerk. You deserve way better. So this got me thinking about what our end goal is going to be for She-Hulk. So in the Marvel comics, as I've stated before, She-Hulk prefers to be She-Hulk all the time. Never wants to be Jen Walters. Always wants to be She-Hulk because she's more confident. She does things better as She-Hulk. I'm wondering if by the end of this, we won't get that. We'll get more of Jen wanting to be Jen. I feel like that's a lesson the show wants us to learn, is that you are fine as you are. You don't need She-Hulk. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this is stuff, unfortunately, again, women, I feel, have to deal with a lot, where you have a literal superpowers, right? You're a literal badass, but it's still somehow not enough, or interestingly enough, I feel like for me personally, during podcasts, right, I get this a lot. If I talk, let's say 50% of the time, you know, the same as maybe you talk, or and I've never gotten it from She-Hulk or Marvel, so that's why I don't want to reference this, but one-to-one, I mean, 50% either gender, I always get the, like, you're talking too much. Yeah, we're on a podcast. What do you want me to do if it's not talking? So not that I'm saying I have podcast superpowers. I'm just saying that this stuff happens a lot to women where and I think they've even done research on actually pay where a woman, like a straight A student, that identifies as a woman, and then a straight C student man make the same amount of money. Right. So this whole dating moment that we saw last time, and now that brought back, right, as almost like a montage, just feels like how women sometimes have to feel less than, even though they're badass, right, in so many ways.
Yeah, I think we really get that as well in the upcoming scene where Jen wants to buy Mallory a drink. They go out to mm-hmm. a bar. Mallory tells Jen, you know, she's not sure anyone else would have had the guts to humiliate themselves to win a case like that. Jen says, yeah, Holden would never have done that. And Mallory says, you know, Holden would never do that because he never has to prove himself to a bunch of underwhelming men. Mm-hmm. Like they have to do all the time as women. Jen remarks, even with superpower, she had to settle for those losers that she had to go on these dates with. And you can tell here that they're kind of bonding over this type of thing. Jen takes a little too far and says, yeah, it's great that we were friends now. And Mallory just kind of looks at her. She's like, without even saying it. Like, she's like, not really that far yet. And Mallory says, I thought you were going to get better clothes. Jen turns to us and says, oh, yeah, my clothes.
Like, finally, we get the fourth wall break. We've been waiting all episode for it. And this conversation, again, I want, you know, folks to, if they feel like criticizing, just look back at this conversation and think, oh, am I being unfair to women? Or is my unjust bias coming out a little bit?
We've talked about it every episode, but every episode of the show gives great perspective on mm-hmm. on the experience of women. And for those that complain, I mean, get over it. It's like less than 2 minutes of your time. Learn something, like instead of complaining.
Exactly.
Whatever. So we do get the "oh yeah, my clothes" moment. So next we go. We have. I feel like we could have cut the episode off at "oh yeah, my clothes."
Yes.
And then made this the post-credit scene because we didn't get a post-credit scene this episode. Which is the first episode this season where we didn't get one. I felt like this could have been a post-credit scene.
But agree, because that's what I put in my notes. So yeah. Stop thinking like me. Where
I'm actually looking at your computer via spyware.
So I knew it. And that's exactly what I felt, where I think it would have been punchier to right. end at the fourth wall break. And why did they? It makes no sense. But I guess they really wanted to give us the pug and sneaker scene later, but I feel like that's yada yada, don't you think? Like her at Luke part two just felt very like exactly. Okay,
she comes back to Luke's I guess I'll call it a boutique. Would that be the right thing to say? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, that could be a boutique
to mm-hmm. pick up her suits. And the interaction here was really weird because she's talking to Luke doesn't say a word to her, just wheels the suits in front of her, and he tells her, oh, I gave you a little something extra, which, you know, I think we're to assume is her superhero suit. So she's trying all her suits. Luke gives her the something extra. Jen says, I don't think I'll be needing this, but Luke says, just thank me anyway. So as we hear Jen trying on her outfits, we see Luke going over to, like, I guess you would call it a hat box, maybe? And he says, why is this left out? We need customer confidentiality. So then we get a peek inside of the box and we see what looks to me to be a gold Daredevil helmet.
Finally, they give it to us. They say, you've been asking for it. Finally, by episode 5 of 9, we got you.
So I've voiced my displeasure at the weird Daredevil gold costume, but mm-hmm. I'll leave that for when we see it hopefully next episode. So should I assume that we'll be seeing Daredevil next episode, or is this going to be something where, like with a lot of our supporting cast, we see them in one episode and then see them fully in two episodes later? Like, is that what I should be assuming? But
so we know, Matt Murdock is only coming for one episode, right? I think that he said at D23. So
yeah, I think so. So
I believe one only.
Yeah, should I assume we get him next episode? Should I assume that we get the premiere of Jen's superhero outfit, the premiere of the new and improved Daredevil with the gold helmet? Maybe. Who knows? With this show was really kind of thrown curveballs with what we expect to happen, so who knows? But yeah, I'm wondering how Daredevil got this guy's contact information. I'm wondering if this fits, if the Daredevil of the Netflix show would go to a Luke Jacobson. Ooh. And how that connects, because there have been some concerning comments, even from Charlie Cox himself, saying that this is like a different show than the Netflix show. I really want them to bridge the gap between the Netflix show, because I really love the Netflix show. As I said on our preview pod, the Netflix show season one is my favorite show. But yeah, I really hope that they don't stray too far from the Netflix Matt Murdock Netflix Daredevil. I don't need a funnier Matt Murdock, funnier Daredevil. I need for the Daredevil Netflix guy I got just to be a little funnier in this world.
Let's see. I think if he's too serious, will that work? I mean, Wong became funny. You know what I mean? So I'm stressed for you, Dan.
But I think there's a role for Charlie Cox to be like kind of the straight man to Jen's goofiness. I think there's a way to play off of that and to make that funny and comedic, where he's kind of serious and she's more goofy. There's a fun interplay with that we could get. So I'm hoping that's the case, and they don't make Daredevil like this comedic, more comedic character. But whatever, we will see. We're speculating fully. So we don't get a post-credit scene, but as you all know that have been watching the show, we do get like these kind of artist renderings at the end of different scenes, some that we did see and some that maybe were just implied in the episode. So we get one of these like drawings where Nikki looks to be Nikki in Pug with Pug in like Pug's like, I guess you could call it a shoe closet where he displays all of his shoes. So we see a bunch of superhero themed shoes in the closet. And there are some X-Men and some like Deadpool and some Fantastic Four shoes that seem to be featured in his shoe closet. There's one for Deadpool. There's one for, looks to be maybe Cyclops.
Oh, you know, I saw that one.
Yeah, looks to be one. Yeah, we know you and your Cyclops obsession. So there seems to be a lot suggesting that if we are to take this artist rendering seriously, which I don't know if we're supposed to or not, seems that maybe these people are already in the MCU and we just don't know it. Like, they've just been here all along. We just never focused on them. Like, we had all the fighting in Endgame and nobody just called the Fantastic Four or the X-Men. It's like, no, don't bother. Maybe they're a joke in this world. Maybe they're not real heroes in this world, but they have shoes dedicated to them. I don't know. I'm not sure we're supposed to take this seriously. But I thought that was a very interesting thing to be pointed out.
I just don't know why they keep teasing us, Jason.
Yeah. I mean, Josiah pointed this out in the Discord, and that was how I first came upon it. And I looked at it again. I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. I just think it's supposed to be a fun little tease. I don't think we're supposed to take it seriously. But, yeah, that was interesting for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think we have to let it go at this point, because Phase 4 specifically is just on a different Earth, you know, on a different dimension, whatever you want to call it, where it's not following an A to B, B to C kind of regular Marvel storyline. I think that we're used to, where everything connects to everything. So right. I think this one again is like, hey, we own these again, so we can have them.
Yeah, just poking a little fun. I think if we were to ask official people, they'd be like, oh no, that's not that. That's, I know that looks like that, but it's technically this, when we know that that's what they mean to say by these drawings.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say, I love the songs at the end of all these episodes. I was the song at the end of this episode. I just put that in my notes because I love the song so much.
Mm-hmm. No, all of this, I mean, we had Eve, Meg Thee Stallion, obvious. Like, it's just, it's on brand. I'm obsessed.
Yes, fantastic. So that is our She-Hulk episode for this week. We've gone through everything we need to go through. Anything else you have to say about this episode?
No, I just think it was so much. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I feel like it was very much like maybe geared towards me and like, you know, audience that maybe is into more things than just Marvel. And I can see why this can be the episode to like bring them into Marvel. So I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I didn't enjoy it as much as you did. I think probably it was the weakest of that we've gotten so far for me. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the humor wasn't up to snuff. And I'm hoping they can make She-Hulk a little more like the She-Hulk in the comics by the end of the show. We've got, what, 4 more episodes left? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they give her they round her out a little more, make her a little more confident watching the She-Hulk persona. Maybe we may even get that next episode with the new clothes that she has. And I'm recalling in the previews where she's like walking some like red carpet in like a silver dress.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where we'll get that next episode. I'm hoping we get more of that.
Yeah, because I think when he said I have something special, I was thinking it was that silver gown. Or like it felt like a gown, how he was talking. Garment bag looked like that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be her superhero suit because she didn't want that, but he gave it to her.
Anyway. Oh, so you think that the original is just a regular suit? And
yeah, I think he probably gave her a bunch of options, like that solar gown, like a business suit, but then he threw in the superhero suit.
Got it.
So yeah, I'm hoping we get a little more of a better Jen, a better She-Hulk, better Jen as we come back. But yeah, so I mean, next episode, got She-Hulk episode 6, you know, that does follow 5. So that does make a lot of sense. So Sasha, where can they find you and what are you up to podcast wise right now?
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at funsize_04 to know everything else I'm up to. But weekly, you know, if you're like, hey, tell me more about celebrities. Well, guess what? Mess Magnets over on RHAP. Got you covered. I won't be on this coming week, but check out Kirsten, and we'll have a special guest as well. In addition, I'm covering Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast, which we didn't put out we're a little behind. I know. Okay, just here we are. I feel like it's on brand with the show. So that's what I'm up to. What about you, Jason?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR108. Right now I've got a few things going on this network here, Post Show Recaps. I'm covering Cobra Kai with Marissa Garza. We're having fun with that. We released our binge episode for the whole season, but we are also breaking down every episode episodically, so you can check that out. Episode 2 just released a few days ago, so please go check that out. Subscribe, rate, review on the Cobra Kai feed on Post Show Recaps. Also, I am doing over on the Rob Hats Podcast for Hap Ups Network, A Perfect Match with Asia Welch. That's where we cover Married at First Sight every single week. We have fun with that show and the crazy people doing crazy things over there, which is a lot of fun. Go check us out there. If you have any feedbacks, comments, questions for this show, for She-Hulk, you can contact me and Sasha on Twitter. We just gave our Twitter handles. You can also hit up Post Show Recaps at Post Show Recaps on Twitter and super@postshowrecaps.com. That's the email. Hit us up there for any comments, questions. Please do not forget to subscribe, to rate, and review this podcast. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your feedback. We want to hear what you're loving about the show. As we've said, every episode, 5 stars only, please. That's all we will accept. That's all we need.
Period.
Yes. So, Sasha, unless you have anything else, that is going to be our episode for this week. We will see you next week. Bye.